Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again, I thank you for this Sabbath day and what a joy it is to be here, Father. And Lord, I pray that the words today that I'm going to say are going to be your words and not my words. And help us to have open ears, hearts, and understanding, and possibly make a difference in the way we're thinking today, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I've titled my message, Giving of Thanks. Now, how many of you know what holiday's coming up this week? Thanksgiving. All right. And a lot of times people associate Thanksgiving with big meals and family get-togethers, and I enjoy both. And I don't have to do it just once a year at Thanksgiving either to enjoy both. I enjoy family and friends and food, a lot of food. You know, at my size, you know I like to eat, so I do enjoy it. Well, there's some other things. Let's look at a scripture today in Luke 17, 12 through 11. Luke 17, 12 through 11. I still hear some pages turning, so I'll give a pause for a minute. Luke 17, 12 to 19. Luke 17, 12 through 19 says, "And then, as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' So when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go and show yourselves to the priest.' And so it was, as they went, they were cleansed." That's pretty cool. All they had to do was start going towards the priest, and they were cleansed on the way. Didn't have to do anything in between. You know, they didn't have to dip into Jordan 7 times or anything like that. They were clean. Okay? "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice and glorified God. And he fell on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the other 9? Where were there not any who found and returned to give glory to God except the foreigner?' And he said to him, 'Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you whole.'" Now let's look at a couple of things about this particular passage here, okay? First off, there was 10 lepers. Now some people have said that there's a slight parallel between the 10 lepers and the 10 commandments. Okay? All 10 of them were lifting their voices asking Jesus to have mercy on them. All 10 of them were. Jesus instructed them to go to the priest, and so they all left immediately. There was no hesitation in them. When Jesus spoke, they listened. Who was that commercial that used to say when E.F. Hutton speaks, people listen or something? Well, when Jesus spoke, people really listened to what he said. And it was customary that if you had leprosy and you were, for some reason like that, cleansed of it, you had to go to the priest and let the priest pronounce you as being cleansed. So Jesus instructed them to go to see the priest. And number 4, they all got healed at the same time as they were making their journey towards the priest. Every one of them got healed right at the same time. Only one of them, however, when he recognized he was already cleansed, did he turn back and went and glorified God. He even fell down on his face at the feet of Jesus, giving him thanks because he was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked, "Where's the other 9? Now, this is only a question as food for thought, and I can't remember. It's been many, many years ago. I've grown up in the Adventist church, and some things stick in my mind. Some things, the older I get, the better my forgetter works. I can tell you that. But somebody just asked a very question about the 10 lepers and being paralleled with the 10 commandments and how important they all were. And could the fourth commandment about our keeping the Sabbath have any significance about praising God the way that one leper went back to go and praise God out of the nine? That was something that, you know, I still can't figure it out. But I just wanted to throw that out. Mankind in general is not generous or appreciative or thoughtful by nature, just like the nine lepers. Man's sinful nature is basically selfish and unappreciative. I mean, think about it now. Small children. Think about small children, and maybe whether they were your own at some time or somebody else's or something, but maybe you got some little five-year-olds that are sitting on the floor and they're playing with some toys. You know, they got a handful of toys, and then one of them will come over and, okay, here this kid's playing with these toys, and here's this one behind here, so, okay, this other kid comes and picks it up. That's mine, give it back. Isn't that a selfish nature? How many of you have seen that happen? I mean, I've seen it happen bunches of times. Yeah, that's our human selfish nature. You know, that's mine, give it back. You know, so why should we endeavor to early teach our children to say things like, thank you, and be generous, unselfish, and thoughtful? Because children have the natural carnal nature that they were born with. We have to teach them not to be selfish, not to be greedy, and to be more thoughtful. The child of God, however, is under a new birth experience, and he receives the new heart, to create in me a clean heart, and renew that right spirit within me. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, then that child of God does become a thankful and a grateful individual. After that, so, in essence, God's children should be warm, appreciative people. It's one of the Christian graces. Christ is ready to enable us. It could be in our homes, through all children, spouses, business associates, and friends. Ephesians 5:20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This should also be true for us giving thanks with one another, but especially true when we give thanks to God and what He has done for us. In Philippians 4:6, it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God. This appreciation here should naturally flow out of our hearts and not sound like some sort of a recited script. You know, I mean, I've been in churches where they read the sermons and read the prayers and do all stuff, and it's all prearranged. Ain't nothing like the real thing that comes from the heart, is it? Nothing like the real thing that comes from the heart, no matter what it is, where it is. So what are things that I am especially thankful for? Well, I'm thankful for God's love. I don't know about you, but I am thankful for God's love. Romans 5:8. But God commendeth His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's unconditional love there. That's unconditional love. No restrictions. Unconditional. John 13:34 says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. If He loved us so much to lay down His life for us, I don't think I could do that for somebody else. I mean, you know, if we're to love others like God loved us, are we willing to lay down our lives for a sinner? Could we lay down our lives to pay the penalty and pay the price for notorious people like Osama bin Laden or Saddam Hussein or you know, other people, even local people here, Larry Jean Bell and people like that? Could we lay down our lives to save them? Would we be willing to do that? You know, how about the people that are doing the mass murderers in the schools and that place in Las Vegas where they had that concert and this guy just opened up and just went round after round and round? Jesus died for us long before we ever committed our sins. He's died for me and for all of my sins before I've ever committed them. And I am quite glad to know that my sins are forgiven, because 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All my sins can be forgiven. Isaiah 1:18 says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And in Luke 10:20, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Amen. Just think about it, having your name written in the book of life in heaven. Isn't that exciting to know that your name is there? And I'll bet it's spelled correctly too. Okay? I bet it is spelled correctly. I mean, I have to look at the print of Gabrielle and Robert's last name in order to spell it correctly. Okay? But you know what? We don't have to worry about that. It's spelled the right way in the book of life, isn't it? That's something neat. Just think about it. Your name's written there. It's written there. There's going to come a time when sin is going to be finally and completely destroyed. All sin is going to be blotted out, and it's going to be cast down to the bottom of the sea, and it's going to be remembered no more. No more. When Jesus comes in the clouds of heaven, there's one key thing that's very important. It won't matter if you're among the living or among those that are asleep in the graves. What will matter is the fact that my sins are forgiven by the blood of the Lamb and that my name is written there. God's love is unconditional. Salvation is not, oh, what a price Jesus paid for my salvation. What a price He gave up His life. And it doesn't matter whether I'm alive or not when Jesus comes, as long as my name is written there. Now, when I speak at funerals sometimes, I speak of a personal dilemma, because we know in Thessalonians that when Jesus comes, every eye is going to see Him. There's no such thing as some secret rapture, okay? Every eye is going to see Him, okay? Then heaven's going to depart like a scroll, the angels, the trumpet's going to sound. And then when it says the dead in Christ will rise first, then those of us who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the air, and together we will be living with Jesus forever. So here's my thinking. If I happen to be alive when Jesus comes, wouldn't it be neat to watch people coming out of the graves, standing by a cemetery somewhere, and watch that happen? So I think to myself, okay, would I want to be over at the cemetery at Red Bank Baptist Church where my grandfather on my mom's side is buried? He's the one that I'm named after. And my grandmother used to call me George Wingate II because I favored him so much, okay? And you know, I spent a lot of time with him. He taught me a lot of things. I'm mechanically inclined like him. So what I want to be up there when Daddy George and my grandmother come out of the grave and say, all right, Daddy George, I'll catch up with you in a minute. Or what I want to be over at the Greenlawn Cemetery where I have my parents and my sister that's already passed away. I had a sister with Down syndrome that passed away, and my other grandparents. Would I want to be with them? Now, you talk about an unconditional love. My sister that had Down syndrome, I think she loved everybody. The pastor that spoke at her funeral says that when I get to heaven, I want to have a heart like Ann, where I can love everybody like she did. Okay? So that's my dilemma. Where would I want to be when Jesus comes? Anyway. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I am thankful that I have victory over sin. I am so thankful I have victory over sin. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We got that victory. We got that victory right near the end of the Bible, Jude 24. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. Wow. The joy of service. In our life here, earthly, sin-restricted though it is, the greatest joy and the highest education are in service. And in the future state, untrammeled by limitations of sinful humanity, it is in service that our greatest joy and our highest education is going to be found, witnessing. And ever as we witness, learning anew the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Acts 26:18, to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sin and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. We can have victory. We can have victory over the beast. We can have victory over his image. We can have the victory over his mark and deliverance from the powers of Satan unto God. What a wonderful Savior we have. Thank you, Lord. I'm thankful that Jesus is my friend. He's my friend. However, Christ is more than just your friend. He's more than just my friend. He's your Savior. He's your Creator. He's our Lord, and He's our King. But among all that Christ is to us, let us never forget that he's our friend, and he's the best friend that we can have. One that sticketh closer than a brother. Isaiah tells us that in all of our afflictions, that he is afflicted as well. So you know what? Jesus hurts when we hurt. Jesus weeps when we weep. Jesus is by our side in all of our sorrows. He didn't say he's going to keep us from sorrows. He said he would see us through them. He didn't say he'd keep us from them. He would see us through them. Jesus feels the pain of our disappointments and our heartaches. And he really, really understands. Jesus is by our side in sickness. And even in the valley of the shadow of death, Jesus is always there. So, to wrap it up, like those old high school and college essays that you had to write something in 25 words or less, thank you, Lord, for being my friend. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for being my friend. Heavenly Father, thank you so, so much for being my friend and being our friend. And thank you for being our Lord, our Savior, our King, our Counselor, our Comforter. You're all that we need, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.